Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Into our second hour of the program, we are taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. Welcome back in. As always, if you want to chime in, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air, and leave a comment in the video chat, as again, we take you until 8 o'clock this evening. On the way this hour, wanted to replay for you a conversation that the Dave Glover Show had with John Mozeliak. And I always like it when I'm a big fan of the Dave Glover Show, and I'm a big fan of Dave. And I think he looks at life and looks at things in a way that other people don't look at things. And that's why he is so good at what he does. But just knowing that the audience for the Dave Glover Show and the audience for Sports Open Line, probably there's some crossover, but might not be as much crossover as you might think. I wanted to make sure you got the opportunity to hear Mo talk with Dave Glover and company from earlier in the week. We also have our weekly conversation with Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, courtesy of our sister station, 96.5 The Fan, when he talks with Carrington Harrison out there in Kansas City. And we'll have that coming up here in just a little while. A lot of Cardinal talk. Cardinals end up losing today, and they fall to the Cubs. I want to be clear. I always feel like I have to put disclaimers when I say stuff like this because I get accused of being a homer sometimes. I want to be clear. The team lost 12-1 today, and this was not a competitive game. Okay? Let's start the conversation right there. It was a 12-1 game. The final score tells the difference or tells the story. But I mentioned this earlier, and this is where, when I talk about the team like not being that far away, yet also being really far away, this game is a microcosm of that. Because I've said it all the time that if we want to judge the Cardinals as, well, how close are they to being a playoff club? Pretty darn close. Couple things go different way this year. Maybe they move on from Fetty earlier than they do and get in McGreevy. Like, it's not that hard to find three or four more wins from this team. And who knows? If they're right there, maybe they're actually buying at the deadline and doing some things. Now, they bought at the deadline last year and it didn't work for them, right? So I would rather a team sell at the deadline and not make it to the playoffs than buy at the deadline and not make it to the playoffs. That's if you're the Cincinnati Reds, if this season gets over, and the Reds are still in contention, so I'm not trying to, you know, count the eggs before they hatch. The Reds still have a legitimate opportunity of being a playoff team, and all the credit goes to the Reds for what they have been able to do here in staying alive. But if the Reds do end up in a spot where they miss the playoffs, which seems like the most likely conclusion to this whole thing, well, they're going to be a team that bought at the deadline and ended in the same place that the Cardinals ended up, with just a handful more wins. You would rather add to your organization like the Cardinals did. Now, in the grand, what you would really rather have is buy at the deadline, go on a run, make it into the playoffs. That would be the perfect situation. And if the Reds do end up making it into the playoffs, then they clearly made the correct decision on how they, and they probably made the correct decision anyways. They're one game out of a playoff spot right now. So no matter how it ends, they made the right decision. But sometimes the end result is what you look at. So I'm not trying to be critical of the Reds in this. I'm just saying, if it ends up playing out the way it looks like it's going to end up playing out, the Cardinals are in a slightly better spot than the Reds are. The value of adding more good players to your organization probably outweighs the value you get in playing games that matter down the stretch of the season and just getting that experience. And that's what's, even if Cincinnati doesn't make it to the playoffs, that's going to be the intrinsic stuff that they get out of this year. They're going to have a bunch of dudes who are playing in games in the final weekend of the season with the playoffs still available for them. I'm not trying to dismiss the impact of that. That is a good thing. That's a positive thing. That's something that the Reds and their fans could be happy about. Going back to where I started with all of this. So the Cardinals very close to being a playoff team this year, but it feels like they're very, very, very far away from being a team that can go on that legitimate playoff run, right? So let's look at today's game in particular, because that's why I feel like today's game is kind of a microcosm of that concept of being both close and far away at the exact same time. Cardinals were not close to winning this game today. Cardinals lost by 11 runs. Cardinals did not play well. But when you go back through the game, you can find where this thing went sideways. And it happens in a lot of games. Like I'm not trying to lie. I sound preachy. That's not what I'm going for here. If I'm coming across that way, I'm listening to myself, and it almost sounds preachy. That's definitely not the vibe that I'm going for here in the moment. If you go back to the sixth inning today, the Cardinals left the bases loaded. So that's when they were down 4-0. They're one hit away from potentially scoring two or three runs there. So it's a 4-1 game. It's a 4-2 game. Maybe it's a 4-3 game, right? Like that inning could have gone incredibly differently. Instead, they leave them loaded. When the Cardinals have lost games over the last couple years, it feels like they're terrible with runners in scoring position and they leave a lot on. So they left three on. They left them loaded in the sixth inning. In the seventh inning, They did get a hit from Jordan Walker. Credit where credit is due. They did get a hit from Jordan Walker that scored a run, so they got on the board, but they left two on. So they leave five on between the sixth and seventh innings, where they are legitimately two hits away from being tied, right? They're not tied. They're not in the game. They're down 4-1 at that point. So the bullpen decision is you go to Gordon Graceffo. Is Gordon Graceffo used in that game if it's a 4-3 game, if it's a 4-4 game? Probably not. I'm not 100% sure, but probably not. They go to Gordon Graceffo. He wasn't very good today. They go to Chris Roycroft. He wasn't very good today. Next thing you know, the Cubs had a 7-run seventh inning, and it goes from being a 4-1 game to an 11-1 game. So that's my point in it can be both close and far away all at the exact same time. So, that's this game today. And that's how it worked out. And then it ends up being a very, 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 very one-sided game. I wanted to follow something up that I mentioned earlier because I got a text on this. I didn't know this. Wilson Contreras evidently is in Chicago. And got a texter that texted in and said, that Katie Wu had tweeted out that Contreras is in Chicago and does plan on addressing things this weekend. So we just have to wait on that, right? So appreciate the texter from the 217 saying that. I missed that from Katie. I will be curious to see what he says. And I don't totally know what to expect, if I'm being honest about this. I don't know if I should if I should expect him to hop on the train that already is carrying Nolan Arenado and Sonny Gray, because each of those guys have said that they are willing to get moved. And it's been a, speaking of moved, they have moved their positions. So for Arenado, he's moving his position because, speaking of Katie Wu, he spoke with her and she wrote about this in The Athletic that Arenado is going to open up the no trade list a little bit more, the list of teams that he would willing to be traded to. He had a list last year. It wasn't very large. There seems to be some conflicting reports on if the Astros are actually on that list or not. They may have been, and then they made some moves, and you know, Kyle Tucker left, and then all of a sudden he was having second thoughts about whether or not that was a place that he wanted to go, yada, yada, yada. Arenado spoke, said that he understands that the Cardinals are trying to make moves, that it's right for them to make moves, that it just hasn't really worked out for him in his time here. It hasn't been the way that he wanted it to be, and that he is going to be more of a facilitator by at least opening up and providing more teams that he would be willing to get moved to. Sonny Gray. And I think Sonny Gray's been moving in this direction for a while, because if you listen to some of the things he has said in post games, it's become clear that he's been a little bit frustrated with the fact that the team is not winning enough games. But it was no longer a read between the lines sort of thing. It was a just overtly stating that he would be willing to get moved, that he would waive his no trade clause for certain teams. Last offseason, not willing to waive the no trade clause. Now he is willing to waive the no trade clause for certain teams. So you wait and see which teams might be interested in him, which teams would be willing to pick up all, most, if not all, of what he's going to be owed next year, which is $35 million. Plus, there's a buyout if you don't pick up his club option for the next year, which is another $35 million. So either you're going to get him for basically $40 million for 1 year or $70 million for 2 years. I don't know what teams are going to be, who's going to be interested in doing that. That's still a fair amount of money that you're going to pay. He has to accept it. I don't think he's just going to go anywhere. People have said, you know what, he would look good as a New York Met. The Mets could really use a guy like him. He hated it when he was at the Yankees, or at least he didn't have a good experience when he was there with the Yankees. I know it's two different teams, but it's the same city. What leads to all that? Is that something that he would not be comfortable with? But we have seen clear movement. Nolan Arenado is not saying the same stuff he said last offseason. Sonny Gray is not saying the same stuff that he said last season. Both players are moving in the direction of being okay to be traded within, you know, certain qualifications that go along with that in terms of where they would get moved, so on and so forth, yada, yada, yada. So Contreras, not that long ago, says he doesn't want to be traded. He hasn't accomplished everything that he wants to accomplish. Are we going to see him moving off of that? We've seen other players say one thing, and then time passes, and they say something else. And that's not a criticism of them. That changes. There are times I feel something at one point, time passes, and then I feel something different. That's just part of being a human being and looking at the circumstances that surround us, and all of a sudden circumstances change, so we change the way we feel about something. Nothing wrong with that. The circumstances that have changed, when Contreras sees that this team did not win this year, when Contreras sees that I don't know what the private conversations have been like between him and Chaim Bloom and the organization. He sees that a couple of the other veterans on the team are a lot more open to getting moved. When he sees all these things playing out, is this going to change his opinion on where he wants to be playing next season? And it's kind of a 51-49 sort of deal, but if I have to make a prediction, if I have to guess which way it's going to go, I feel like there's a chance of, again, that 51-49, I feel like there's a good possibility. I say 51-49, good possibility. That doesn't totally jive, but you get where I'm going. I think if I forced to predict one direction or another, I guess my prediction would be, I think that Wilson might say that he would be more open to being traded away from the Cardinals than he's been previously. We'll have to wait and see. We'll talk about this on Monday, but that seems like something that's possible. We'll hear from John Mozeliak on Monday as well, and that might be part of that conversation. We are going to take a break. Speaking of John Mozeliak, we'll hear from him with the Dave Gulliver Show. That's up next right here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Great Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you until 8 o'clock as we continue through the evening. Final weekend of Cardinals baseball. That means you're going to get a whole lot more Sports Open Line here moving forward, because we won't have Cardinals games so many nights of the week. Wanted to replay a cool conversation. You've heard a lot from John Mozeliak, I think, across multiple media outlets here over the last week or so. His final weekend as the president of baseball operations for the Cardinals. And I always enjoy when somebody like Dave Glover, who's not like all in sports guy, talks with sports people, because sometimes the conversation goes in a little bit of a different direction. So Mo spent some time with the Dave Glover Show earlier this week, and I'm sure that we've got a bit of an audience here on Sports Open Line that's different than the Dave Glover audience. So I wanted to pass this along for you. This was John Mozeliak going into his final weekend as the president of baseball operations, talking with the Dave Glover Show.
You and I have met, you've been on the show, but we didn't get to know each other well. Kevin Wheeler's here with me. I know you guys know each other very well. But I wanted to have you on mostly as a guy, a St. Louis in my whole life and a Cardinals fan, and just say congratulations, thank you, and I, for one, think you did an excellent job.
Dave, I appreciate that. I should have had you like tooting my horn a few months ago. But anyway.
I know you're going to take a lot of crap. And just to counteract that, saying in front of everyone in my audience, I thought you did a very nice job, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I do feel like, as I am exiting and going out the door, I get a sense that, you know, most people are happy I'm leaving. Don't get me wrong. But they've been much more gracious, and I feel like this past weekend down at the ballpark was, you know, needless to say, very humbling. It was the amount of humanity I felt and just a lot of the grace people showed was really amazing. So, yeah, it's been fun. I mean, I've loved every minute of it. You know, I think about my career over 30 years and really specifically the 18 at sitting in the GM seat. It's a lot of pressure in this town. It winning matters. And I think for the most part, we won a lot of baseball games.
So everyone at some point leaves what they do. Sometimes they retire. Sometimes they go on to a different kind of job. But for a lot of people, it's difficult just to walk out that door. For you, is there anything particularly difficult given like the players you have coming up? Because this is your baby. And J.J. Weatherholt and Doyle and all these guys, every season has promises. Every season has challenges. Anything right now making it especially kind of thorny to walk out the door knowing what's coming up?
You know, from a baseball standpoint, not really. From relationship standpoint, it is. I've worked with a lot of people for a very long time. Kevin knows a lot of the people that have worked directly with me here at the stadium. And just really like the other day, like, you know, walking through the halls and corridors and just seeing ushers and people that, you know, I'm not going to have that interaction with that I've had for so many years. And that's the hardest part. But honestly, from a baseball standpoint, I think having a new voice for the St. Louis Cardinals is a healthy thing. I think, you know, you're going to see a lot of change with the Cardinals over the next few months and years. And I think that's probably healthy. It's good. So from that angle, I'm perfectly content with where I am, but I'm certainly going to miss a lot of the people I got to know down here.
Mo, going back to when you first came to the Cardinals, so kind of it's an even broader time period than what we're talking about with you as the man in charge of baseball ops. How many cycles have changed do you feel like you've worked through in terms of just how teams are run, how the communication works, the balance between analytics and old school styles, and then the communication between those two? You've kind of seen almost all of these changes for a period of time. Are they as big as we think? And how many of those cycles do you think you've kind of worked through?
Well, I think there's really been like three. Because when I started in baseball, there were no analytics. Traditional baseball card stats. Really, when I started, it was just when sports teams were starting to, you know, purchase computers, starting to understand how they can leverage the power of a computer to go through data. But that was more for like storage and organization. It really wasn't for decision making. Then you flip the script to about 2003 in that era when you had Moneyball, teams started to explore like, okay, is there a way to make better decisions? And so obviously that became the focus of a lot of teams that wanted to be on the cutting edge, and the Cardinals were part of that. And then I think as you've kind of advanced through all of that, as we get closer to really being able to leverage something like AI, how teams make decisions are also now starting to change. And, you know, part of it is, the one great thing about working in sports was always the human element. And I'm the first guy to like complain when an umpire misses a pitch and we know it was a strike or a ball, but it's also the fun part about the game. And, you know, I hope we don't ever get to a point where the game becomes so predictable, it's not fun to watch. Because the human element of the game is, I think, what's most important. But, you know, as owners push executives to make smart decisions, you're trying to leverage everything you can to make the smartest possible decision you can.
It's a fascinating thing.
A lot's changed.
Yeah, no kidding. It's a fascinating thing to also just when you're especially looking back, looking ahead is really fun, but it's impossible. You know, I mean, forecasting, projecting, even for the best people that are talent evaluators, everybody gets things right and wrong. Do you see anything where you think people are getting more accurate on evaluations because of the new stuff? Because I almost feel more like it's not that much different. It's just different ways and more information, but you still ultimately have to make calls between two human beings whose minds you can't read, whose futures you don't know.
Yeah, I think maybe the easiest way to like try to like position that would simply be like looking at the amateur draft.
Yeah, you know,
on the margins, the success rate of getting people to big leagues has not increased all that much. So all this information on the margins really hasn't done that much. Now, I do think like decision making, you still feel like you have a little bit more confidence. But really where I think you do get a little bit of an edge, candidly, is big league players.
Yeah.
Because that you have a lot more history with, you have more personal interaction with. And so with taking like the actual data you can collect from the field and then actually knowing how they perform in that atmosphere versus the uncertainty of a high school or college player or a Latin American player is just, there's still risk.
And one thing that we all that covered the sport, Mo, one of the things we love is just how and why some people become great. Some players, coaches, managers, whatever. But you get the story of a guy like Albert Pujols, who, I mean, this guy's inner circle Hall of Famer, one of the four or five best right-handed hitters of all time. He's a 13th round draft pick. And a lot of people missed, and obviously you guys had something, you saw something in a young Albert that made you think he was worth taking.
No, for sure, but that's the beauty of baseball. I think like the one difference between our sport and others is just like once you get drafted, you still have a long journey to get to the big leagues. Mm-hmm. And I know you guys have heard me say this before, but like getting to the big leagues is hard as a player. But you know what's harder? Staying. It is a tough league.
Mo, as you step down and Heim Bloom takes over, just from your perspective, what can you tell the KMOX audience about Heim?
I think you guys will enjoy him. Nice guy. Personable. I think he has pretty good feel for people that he works with. Players seem to like him. You know, obviously he's sat in this role before in Boston. And so I think that experience will help him. I think the one thing he's going to have to learn, though, is St. Louis is a unique city. It's a special city. Like, my peers always sort of laugh at me. You're just, you know, the GM of the Cardinals. Like, there's no pressure. And I try to always remind people, no, actually, they care and they're vocal. So, you know, I think, like, coming into this and where the team is in terms of the cycle of approaching winning and then addressing some of the revenue issues with TV and ticket sales. You know, these are going to be challenges for this new team. And, you know, I certainly wish them the best, but these are the things that he's going to have to understand, like how to intertwine into the community and, you know, be a face forward type of person. I think back to when I first came here and started to learn all this. It was a lot to absorb because coming from Colorado, you know, it was a football city, but here it was, you know, baseball was number one, and it's a big deal. And I hope he understands that. And you know, I think you know, the DeWitts and others, I certainly wish them the best. But clearly, we're not where we want to be, and there's some work ahead.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing. We hear that all the time. I got buddies that you know work in New York or Boston, and they talk about the difference. I'm like, you don't understand. Like, people are mad because the team is around or just above 500. You know, like you don't have the Pittsburgh run. You know, I grew up in Detroit, where you have decades where your team is just not a factor. That expectation level is real.
No, it is. I think back to my career and like. I think I did some interview with like Martin Kilcoin or something at one point, and he goes, "You've never had a losing season." And sure enough, 2023, we did that.
Gotta blame Marty.
I knew it was Kilcoin's fault.
Had to be someone. It can't be mine. I mean, heavens. But the point is, it's like you know, like I mean, even I was kind of numb to it. Like you just win. That's what you do.
Yeah.
But there are pressures and there are things that this city you have to recognize and do. And look, when I look back at my career, I hope I did that. Like, you know, if you guys ever called and wanted to do an interview, I hope I took it. Like I don't want to be like I didn't dodge it. At least I don't feel I did. So but yeah, it's a tougher seat than people realize.
Well, Mo, thanks for being with us today. And if we don't talk again in the near future, all the best to you and your family.
Well, thank you, guys. Yeah, I'm going to go into hiding for a little bit, but I mean, at some point, I'll resurface. But yeah, but thank you guys so much. Wish you both the very best, and yeah, go Cards.
All right, buddy, go party.
All right, thank you.
Cheers. That was John Mozeliak talking with the Dave Glover Show earlier this week, and I've said this a few times. I realize. Like, I'm of the belief that, yeah, it's time for a new president of baseball operations. I think the last few years have not been great. I haven't agreed with everything that has been done. But I hope as time moves along, people are able to take a step back and really look to John Mozeliak for what he did through his entire tenure with the Cardinals, which was pretty darn good. We are going to take a break. Don't go anywhere. We've got more coming up. In fact, the weekly conversation that we like to play with Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, that's right around the corner. Don't go anywhere. You are locked in.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
To a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We've got you till 8 o'clock this evening. Appreciate you spending part of your Friday with us. Cardinals baseball the next couple days. It's going to be afternoon contest 1:20 tomorrow and then 2:20 for the season finale. That's going to be coming up on Sunday afternoon. The Kansas City Chiefs, they were able to pick up their first victory of the year after an 0-2 start. They were finally able to come around and get a win, but certainly nothing guaranteed. Seems like the Chiefs are still trying to find themselves after a win against a not very good Giants team. They're going to match up against a tough Ravens team coming up Sunday afternoon in Kansas City. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes does a weekly conversation with our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City, with host Carrington Harrison. We always like to be able to play that for you. And as they opened up their conversation this week, Mahomes made it very clear that he was glad that they got that win against the Giants.
Yeah, no, it feels good. I mean, obviously, we don't like losing, and losing two straight to start the season is something that we hadn't done before. So getting that win was the utmost importance, and we were able to get that done, and now we move on to Baltimore.
We'll get back to football here in just a little bit, but the weather in Kansas City is changing. One thing that I love that you do is I feel like every year you take us on a family fall outing with you guys. Have you guys already planned this? What do you have planned for the fall?
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be something along those lines. You know, it's kind of easy because I obviously have to take my family, and the places that we go to are so gracious and letting me kind of get some room to have the park. And so I like to invite the other guys on the team so they can have on one of our day offs time with their family, and that's important because when you're happy at home, man, it gives you better energy when you're in the building.
What's your favorite fall activity? You seem like, you know, somebody who enjoys a corn maze or two.
Yeah, I mean, I have since I've been here. I wasn't big on the whole, like, pumpkin patches and the corn mazes growing up, but being here in Kansas City, you can see how well it's done here, and so I'm excited to get back out there and get to something. If that's a corn maze, pumpkin patch, something like that. And then my kids are super excited about Halloween, and they're getting their costumes and stuff ready. So I'm sure that'll be a big day in the Mahomes household.
Okay, you and I have been doing these interviews for like 4 or 5 years, and I'm not sure if I've ever asked you this question. Pumpkin spice latte, is that a thumbs up or a thumbs down for you?
It's not for me. It's not even that I don't like the taste or anything like that. I'm just, when I drink kind of my coffees in general, I just drink them black. So it's like a little bit too much for me, but I guess I could have it in little bit of pieces here and there. It's not like I want the full latte.
Right now we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Let's talk about Tyquan Thornton. I thought it was a very big part in the game that you went deep to him on a ball. He narrowly misses it. It would have been a great catch, and then you go right back to him. Tell us a little bit more about you guys' relationship and the trust that you've built up with him early on in his career in Kansas City.
Yeah, I think he's done a great job of just continuing to get better and better. You know, he asked the right questions. He always is trying to be on the same page with me, and I feel like it's just a start, you know, because we've missed on a couple of these deep shots too as well, and then a lot of it's my fault, and then some of it's just miscommunication between me and him. But he's someone that works extremely hard, puts in the work, and he's a good dude in the locker room as well. And so I think he's going to continue to get better and better, and as we add guys back, it's going to give him more opportunities to make these big plays.
Where does that rank in terms of catches that you've seen in your time in Kansas City there? Because I'm sitting there thinking, you know, when you and I were growing up and watching SportsCenter Top 10, that's one of the ones that would have been high up on the list.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, first of all, the angle I had to throw it from, it wasn't from the normal release spot, and I'm rolling to the right, throwing it back across the field. He has to find the football with a guy kind of in the way, and then to use your hands, make a strong catch, and hold it down when the guy had really good coverage. I mean, it was a tough catch. I told him that it was harder. The first catch was easier than the second catch, but he made the hard one. So either way, we got it down there to the 1 yard line, and we're able to punch it in for the touchdown.
Now that you are, you know, one of the older guys on the team, not calling you an old guy, but you're one of the older guys on the team, how rewarding is it to see a young guy like Tyquan kind of come in and just grow as his role has grown in the offense in these first 3 weeks?
Yeah, I mean it's super important, honestly, and obviously it's great to see for him and for this offense, but just someone that puts in the work, and it shows that if you put in the work and you continue to work, you can have a role in this offense. You can make big plays in big moments, and obviously it's going to be important for us as the season goes on, and it's been super important at the beginning of the season. So I think his role will continue to grow, and we'll be able to add some other guys back here and there, hopefully over these next few weeks, and really get this offense off the ground.
Let's keep it with the wide receivers. We just saw the report that everybody is scheduled to practice for you guys today. You've seen Xavier Worthy over these last couple of weeks. He's been able to practice but hasn't been able to play. How do you think he's looked in practice? How close do you think he is to being able to get back on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's really close. I mean, it's more about just us being a little bit more safe about it than we necessarily I guess the word would be the more safe about it and more cautious of it, just knowing it's early in the season. Obviously, every game is important. He's a player that's going to do a lot of great things in Kansas City. So I feel like he wants to be out there. He's practicing. He's getting the reps in. They're going to make the best decision for our team at the end of the day, for now and for the long term. And I trust that our medical staff and the coaches know when the right time to put him out there is. But I know he's itching to get back on that football field.
Speaking of someone itching to get back on the football field is Rashee Rice. I just saw that he is able to be back in the facility. How good is it to have him around?
Yeah, man. I mean, it really boosts the morale, man. I think just having that guy, he's always got a smile on his face, and he's one of the leaders of that receiving room. We have a lot of young guys there, and he's kind of been the guy that's been in the Super Bowl. He's won the Super Bowl, and he's made a lot of big plays, and just to have him in that room to kind of complete the room, I think the guys are super excited about it. Obviously, he can't practice with us, but he can be in some of those meetings and stuff like that, and it's always good to have the guys back in the building, the guys that you put the work in with.
I was just going to ask you, how do you guys get him ready even though you can't practice? Is it just extra film time? Is it just kind of rebuilding that camaraderie? How do you guys get him ready to come back in 3 weeks?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, first off, you build the camaraderie and just being back in the building and him getting to hear the plays. Because even though it's 6 weeks, I mean, the offense changes and the plays change, and we work off stuff that's worked and versus what defenses are giving to us. And so for him to be in the building to hear that stuff and how we're talking about plays, it's going to help streamline that the progression of him getting back whenever he can be back. And so he can work out by himself and he can kind of stay in shape and do stuff like that. But being in the building, listening to us, how we talk, and then kind of keeping those relationships going so that when he gets here, we can kind of hit the ground running. It'll be important.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, here for a few more minutes. Patrick, certainly tell me if you think I'm wrong when it comes to this. It feels like you and Kelce's connection has just been a hair off. You guys have had so many big plays, so many moments. It feels like it's just a shade off at times on some of these plays. Are you getting the same feeling?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think the biggest one was when I just, like, dirted the ball. I mean, he was open early, and I got greedy and was trying to throw the ball down the field and said just getting the football to him earlier, and then when I threw the ball, kind of just yanked it to the left and yanked it down to the ground. So I think he's done a great job this year getting open and making stuff happen. And so for me, it's just about getting the football to him, giving him more opportunities. And as I watch film, he's getting more open than even the opportunities I'm giving him. So just trusting in him that he's going to make the plays happen. And I'm sure as the season goes on, he'll continue to make big plays.
Obviously, things happen on the sideline. It's fiery. Everybody wants to win. There was a moment between Travis and Coach Reed. How did you guys as a team respond to that moment?
You know, what's crazy is I didn't even know about it until after the game. So I think more than anything, man, it's just two people that love football and love the Kansas City Chiefs and love each other. And so we're passionate. We love the game. We want to be at our best every single time we step on the field. And I think more than anything, man, it just made us play even better. So, I mean, when you know the guys love each other and that they're showing passion, you know it's for the right reasons. And so we'll go out there and continue to get better and better.
I've heard you mention this before. You know, you don't really always see it when it comes to Andy, but, you know, there's definitely times where he's a little bit fiery. You see it in the video. Like, you rarely see him get animated like that, but when he does, he was kind of equally giving it back.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's a football player at the end of the day. I mean, I know he's a coach now, and he's been a coach for a long time. But, I mean, he was offensive lineman. He was a good football player, and he has that mentality. And that's what you want is you want a coach that cares, and Coach Reed cares. And I think everybody in this building knows that. And so he's going to push us to be the best that we can be. And he does a good job of being the calm force when we need it to be. But when we need that fire, he can bring it too.
I feel like in rap they talk about, you know, those top three artists with Drake, Cole, and Kendrick. I feel like you have that right now in the NFL with yourself, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson. You guys are just linked together. You guys always seem to play each other when it comes to the postseason. What is it like to be a part of that group and have such competitive matchups between you three?
I mean, it's fun. I mean, you're going to get the best of the best every single time you step on the football field against one of those guys and their teams as well. And so I think more than anything, it makes you raise your game to another level. I mean, you have to in order to find a way to compete and to find a way to win. And so when you play against the best, man, you bring out the best in yourself. And so it's competition, but it's a bunch of respect there as well. And so I'm just excited to step on that football field and play against one of the best teams in the league.
We asked you last week about a must-win game, and you said you don't really look at regular season games that way. It certainly makes sense. This feels like a really important swing game with both teams being 1-2 right now. One of these teams is going to be 2-2 heading into October, and the other team's going to have to do a little bit of work. This feels like a really important momentum swing game for both you and Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, anytime you're below 500, you want to find a way to get that momentum back into your favor. And obviously, we are and they are. But at the same time, we both know how good both football teams are. And so both of us are trying to get our season back on track. And we're both going to come out with that fire and that attention to detail to go out there and play our best football. And it's going to be a great football game.
Right now, if you look at the odds, you guys are considered to be a underdog in this game. You guys are at home again. This is the second consecutive game that that's the case. Do you guys take that as disrespect? Do you guys care at all about how people project you guys right now?
I mean, I didn't know that, but I mean, more than anything, I think we never feel like underdogs. I mean, I've said it several times. We feel like we can beat anybody that we step on the field and play. And so we give them the respect, and we know how good this football team is, and we've played a lot of games against them and know that. But at the end of the day, we're going to go in with the mentality if we think if we play our best football, we can win.
Patrick, man, really appreciate your time. Happy to catch up with you next week.
Yeah, appreciate you.
That is the weekly conversation with Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, courtesy of our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. And we are your home for Chiefs football, especially after this weekend as the baseball season will wrap up, and then we'll have all the Chiefs games here on KMOX until the end of the year. We'll take another break. We'll come back, and we will wrap up the program. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it for just a couple more minutes before we call it a night. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Back with you on Monday. Just so you know what to kind of expect next week from a Cardinals perspective, we are planning on there being multiple press conferences. We will probably hear from John Mozeliak one day, and he'll be able to reflect upon the season, probably do some reflecting upon his career, and then that's going to officially turn things over to Chaim Bloom, the incoming president of baseball operations, and we expect there to be a press conference with him. I would assume that we're going to be airing all of that with immediate reaction and things like that, so if you want to hear both the Mo and Bloom press conference, we'll have it for you. Hopefully it happens maybe early enough in the day that it kind of leads into a Gas House Gang, and then we'll continue that conversation on Sports Open Line in the evening. Might be able to record some stuff with those guys when we're out there. So we are certainly looking forward to just what's going to be a very interesting week, especially the Chaim Bloom conversation. Just to repeat what I've said multiple times, that this is I think we have spent so much time over the last few weeks trying to, I want to use the word guess, but I think that's not totally true. Kind of educated guess? Yeah, we've been trying to take our educated guesses on what it's going to look like for the team moving forward, really in the near term. We know what it's going to look like long term, that they want to get this thing humming along once again. They want to have all the infrastructure in place. They want to be able to produce high-end talent out of the minor league system. They want to be able to pick and choose where they spend free agent money, so where they're using it, they're not trying to fill holes, but they're trying to bring in profoundly impactful players. So that's where that's going to go. But what is it going to look like for next year? Is there a scenario where they are just really tearing this thing down even more to add as much as they can to the minor league system? Is there a scenario where Nolan Arenado, Wilson Contreras, Sonny Gray, Brendan Donovan, Lars Nootbaar, Nolan Gorman are all gone next year? That's pretty extreme. That is very extreme. Some of those names that I just mentioned for sure will not be here next year, but how many of them will not be here next year? I think that's kind of the indication that I'm looking to get from Chaim Bloom when he speaks for the first time. Not the individual players, but just how dramatic could things change this offseason. And we'll just have to wait on that to see what's going to happen. Again, I think we have full shows every day next week, maybe four or five. I look at the schedule, but we're going to be on a lot. So 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock for Sports Open Line. Of course, our rush hour in the 5 o'clock where I'm with Kevin Wheeler. So we will be covering all aspects of this moving forward, and we're looking forward to being able to do just that. Thanks for being tuned in tonight, and we will talk to you again coming up on Monday on what could be an interesting day after the Cardinals season comes to an end. This has been a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.